But this is, we work in the largest slum in the country, and it's about 4 or 5 miles long, and there's about 100,000 families that live along this river. And so it's very, very densely populated. And these are the actual homes that we minister in. These are the actual homes where we go have Bible studies, and where when we, for our kids' ministry part, this is where the kids come in from these places as well. And so, but we go week in, week out, we go to each of these homes and through each of the streets in between here. Okay, there we go. So we're going to highlight 4 things today about our ministry, and then we'll have a little time in the Word. But we have 4 areas of focus of our ministry, and that would be preaching Christ, reaching kids, training leaders, and serving the forgotten. And so part of preaching Christ is we do something called the 4 rules of life. Okay? Can I see everybody's hands? I don't know. All right. Everybody's hands. Okay, here we go. Rule number 1. God loves me. Oh, very good. Oh, you guys are great. Rule number 2. Whisper. I have sinned. Now, why do we do this? It's like a prisoner, because that's what sin does. It binds us and puts us into prison and holds us back from the promises that God has for each of us. But Jesus came. And rule number 3. Let's say it together. Ready? Jesus died for me. All right. And the important one is that you and I must make a decision. The pastor can't make it. Your mom and dad can't make it. You've got to decide. And rule number 4. I must decide to live for Jesus. All right. And so this is part and parcel really of what we do, is that we want to make sure that we're sharing and proclaiming the name of Jesus with everyone. You know, it's good. We can give backpacks. We can give school supplies. We can have even a VBS. We can have arts and crafts. We can have games. We can have blah, blah, blah. But if you're not giving Jesus, why are we there? And so our heart as missionaries, God sets us apart, and that's to bring a message that's set apart, that's different than a message than what the world is giving, and that's Jesus. And so we want to make sure that in every service we have, every Bible study that we have, we're giving people an opportunity to pray and invite Jesus into their heart. These are some young men in a men's group praying. And then also my wife leading on a women's ministry. We have big ministry, women's ministry events as well. And we usually find the best time is that because we have big groups, we break up into small groups. So about 10, 15 people in a small group. And then in those intimate times, we can have a little Bible study or a devotion and actually just pray with them one-on-one in those things. And so from our volunteers, we have an incredible team of volunteers and pastoral staff that work with us. But as a team, we're working together to reach the community in Manila for Jesus. And it's followed up by baptism. You know, we proclaim the name of Christ, people pray, and we follow up for them to be baptized. And so does anybody recognize our baptismal? Yeah, it's a horse water trough, you know. You know, whatever works. But at our church, we don't have any running water. We're in the slum. And there's only a few homes that have running water. And so we get 5-gallon buckets, and we run, you know, between a couple people that come to our church. And we get water from their house and fill it up. And then we come fill up this, I think it's 150-gallon, you know. So it takes a bit of trips, you know, but it's important for people to make a stand and declare to their friends and to their family, like, look, God changed me. I'm no longer the person I used to be. I am new. And so that's part of proclaiming the name of Christ, is that we're giving people that opportunity to pray and invite Jesus into their heart. An exciting thing we have every year, 3-4 times a year, we have Vacation Bible School. Who loves Vacation Bible School? You remember VBS or DVBS or I don't know what they call it now. But we have about 3 to 4 of these a year, and we have about 300 to 500 kids attending every day. And so such an incredible opportunity for them, and they're in different locations where we have our outreach and our services. And so our heart really was 1 year, 2 years ago, we wanted to bring the Word of God and give everybody a Bible. And so through the support of several churches, BGMC, we were able to purchase several thousand of these Bibles. These are children's Bibles. Sorry. They're in the Filipino language, made by Filipinos, for Filipinos. And they're not your typical, they're not a full word for word, but they have, let me pull one out here. There we go. There we go. Here's Isaac about to get sacrificed. And but they're colorful. They have Bible stories from all 66 books of the Bible. It's just not like the top 20. And so at our vacation Bible schools, we were able to bless the kids and give them out for the Word of God. And in fact, some people we see now, they have it as their Facebook profile. And during our times, we've been able to have Bible studies online. And we give weekly devotions, daily devotions. And some of the moms and people have said, like, now because of this, I'm having to read my Bible every day and turn to God in His Word every day, rather than, you know, they thought, well, I'm going to do it once a week. And so there's blessings that we're seeing through this pandemic, how people are still being reached and still turning to God and His Word. And so these Bibles have been awesome, blessing to be able to give out. And again, in our services, we give them opportunity to pray, invite Jesus into your heart. Make that decision to say, God, help me to live for You. Because that's really it. That's what it's about. We can give away Bibles, but is that enough? Do people find their way? You know, so it's really, for us, important to make sure the name of Jesus is proclaimed. The second thing we want to share is reaching kids. A big part of our ministry, we have four different outreaches in four different locations in this large slum. And we're in like a mile of it, mile and a half of it. And but God has continued to expand, you know, His territory in this slum for us to continue to seeing people's lives changed and transformed. And so we spend about 4 to 6 hours every week. We go through the streets, we visit the kids, and what's being given out here, these are coloring sheets. And in these coloring sheets, they have Bible verses. Every week we have a new memory verse, and if they can memorize the memory verse, they can play the games. And you know, so they're excited. They come and they'll bring these for their brothers and sisters, and then they'll work on that memory verse and to put God's word in their heart week in and week out. And then here's our Friday night service. And just as a little picture, right now, all of our, we meet, when I say we meet, our service, we don't have a church building. We're out in the community, and every community has a basketball court. And so basketball is really important. It's not the national sport, but Filipinos love basketball. And so we usually take up a good, at least between a half court to almost a full court with kids just on the ground coming on their own. You can see out here, it's dark because our services are from 6:30 at night till about 8:30 at night. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights. And then, you know, but their parents aren't bringing them. They don't have parents saying, hey, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, get your clothes on, hop in the car, get your seatbelt on. No, none of that. These kids really, it's built out of that relationship from us going and visiting them every week in their homes, saying, hey, buddy, I hope to see you at church on Thursday. I hope to see you at church on Friday. And so it's built out of relationship, and they come on their own to come and worship God. Now, during this time of COVID, I just want to highlight, we're not able, of course, to have groups and services like this. And these basketball courts are now, have been temporarily turned into jails. And so one of the situations that happens in the slum is that every family must stay inside their house. And one family member, representative, is given a quarantine pass. And then on either, say, Tuesday and a Friday, that family, only that family member with the quarantine pass is allowed to leave their home to go buy groceries on those 2 days, and you're only allowed to go buy groceries, or if you have a work pass. And so they've been putting, I think I just saw it yesterday, it was either 48,000 or 68,000 violators in Manila who have been taken to now jails. Now this kind of looks like a jail, they just recently built that wall, but they've section it off inside. So there's no basketball, there's no services, there's nothing. You know, but we're praying that one day we'll be able to be back in those courts and helping people find freedom in Jesus. And here's the kids, probably doing the four rules of life here. Rule number one, God loves me. You know, again, like these kids come on their own. They don't have their mom or their dad reminding them, say, hey, you better get to church or we're going to go. You better. No, no. They come because there's something there they're connecting with. There's someone there that they're connecting with, and that's Jesus. And just like this girl, you know, she's probably the responsible one for her sister. And her mom says, you want to go? You've got to take your sister. I don't want to find her here home by herself. And so what does she do? She still brings her sister, and despite that, she says, I'm not my crying sister. Maybe looks a little sad. She's like, she knows. That's like the responsibility of a parent, isn't it? Yeah. You can see it in the child's eyes. She needed something, but the sister, big sister, but still was like, I'm here to worship God. How many of us, our hearts, there's things holding us back from worshiping God with our whole heart and our whole life? And so I'm going to finish with the story of these two boys, Maynard and Ruel. And just like that girl, they came every week. They would come to their services. They'd participate in our worship. And they started coming to youth group. And then after high school, they came to us. Hey, Pastor Mark, Pastor Sarah, we feel called to be pastors. I feel like God wants us to be a pastor. And so with some of the support we received from churches, we're able to support young men like Ruel and Maynard to attend and go to the local Assemblies of God Bible School. And here they are now. This is them helping, and they work with us, reach the kids in the Philippines. And now they are Assemblies of God pastors in Manila. And so I can't speak enough. Yeah, praise God for what God is doing. The transformation that God is doing, not just through these young men, but also in the lives of their families. It's just like a domino effect. And once we start to see them give their hearts to the Lord and the family see the transformation that happens, it's incredible.
Okay, Mark shared about preaching Christ and reaching kids, and I'm going to share about training leaders and serving the forgotten. And this is our team that we work with, and they're all local Filipinos from that area. And so we started in one area, we reached the kids, we started to train up leaders, and then we took some leaders with us and went to a little bit down the road, and we reached kids there and started to train up leaders. And now we're in four areas, and we have four different teams of our leaders. And they're just so faithful. You know, a lot of these kids, they're in high school. They're very young. They're in high school, or they're in college, or they're working, and so they go to school, and then they hurry home to do their homework and come to Mabuhay Kids. Or they're out at work all day. They get up really early in the Philippines because of the traffic. And so they leave their home at like 4 a.m. or 5. They travel in traffic for 2 hours. They work long hours. 9 hours would be considered quite normal. And then they come home in traffic for another hour or two. Then instead of going home, laying down, eating dinner, they put their team t-shirt on and they run to the basketball court because they're just so excited to be a part of reaching other kids and sharing with other kids about Jesus, because he's changed their life and they want to see other lives changed as well. And, you know, because a lot of our leaders are under 20, and right now in Manila, the rule still is that if you're under 20 or over 60, you have to stay in your home. And so that's been since March 15. So imagine that, since March 15, anyone under 20 or over 60 has to stay inside the home still. That's part of their lockdown rules. And so everything we do is through, you know, internet, through the phones. And of course, it's a really poor area. Not everyone has a phone. Not everyone has access to the internet. But we just do what we can to reach those that we can during this time. This is a training that we had in January, and we were here in America visiting churches and saying thank you to our supporters, but we were so blessed that there was a pastor that said, you know, can I go to the Philippines and do some training? And, you know, every January we do training, so it was just such a blessing that he went in that exact same month, and he just spent time encouraging our leaders, building them up. You know, it can be hard for them when we are away, when we're gone. For months, it's been a year now, and they can get a little discouraged, but having someone go and just build into them and encouraging them and speaking God's word and life over them was a real blessing. And I want to share this story. This is a family, and the mom, she's here on the left, the second to the left, and her name is Pat, and there's her three kids. And the kids all started coming to church when they were little, like 10, 11, 12. They came along, they got to hear about Jesus, they decided they wanted to live for him, and they started volunteering, and just really faithful. And then the mom, when they would go home from church, she would say to them, "It's okay that you're going to that church, but don't read your Bible." You know, she knew that God's word was going to transform them, that God's word was powerful. But they kept coming to church, kept coming, and whenever we would see her, we'd smile, "Hi, Auntie Pat, how are you?" She'd just kind of frown, and, you know, we'd keep going. But many years later, through a whole series of events, we started a women's ministry, and we invited her, and she was so excited. She said, "Before you had that for the kids, and you had something for the youth, but now you have something for me, for the moms." And so she came, and she even brought friends, and she got to hear about Jesus for herself. And she decided to live for him. She invited him to be her Lord and Savior. And what's so exciting is today, she is one of our Bible study leaders. She's one of our leaders with the women's ministry. And she's here. There's a little error. And this is two groups having a snack. But you can just see that they are gathering all of their friends, all of their neighbors. They gather them together because something has changed their life. And that something is Jesus. And they want to see other people's lives change too. So it's just so exciting. You know, sometimes we want to see the fruit today. We want to smile and tell someone and see them transform today. But sometimes it takes many years. Like in the story of Auntie Pat, it took many years to see that transformation in her life. And her husband came on Father's Day, and we're still believing for him as well. But it's exciting to see how God is changing whole families, from the kids to the youth to the women and their husbands. Another area of our ministry is we do medicine or first aid at every service. And what we see is that the kids, because they get cuts or they get burns, often they have no shoes, or the shoes aren't the right size, or they cook on these little charcoal flames. So the kids get burns on their feet, or they get cuts very easily from glass and trash around the place. And they don't have like a medicine cabinet. They don't have this nice bathroom and all the supplies. And so they get infections, and then they can get really sick from having those infections. So what we do is every service, we do basic first aid. It's very simple. We just clean their wounds, we put the ointment on there and put a Band-Aid and keep it clean and covered and prevent it from getting infected, prevent them from getting sickness. And, you know, sometimes there's one or two kids, other times there's 20 or 30 kids lining up. Because, you know, they've seen friends who got sick or even died from basic illnesses, so they learn it's important to take care of themselves. This little girl, you can see she has a little graze on her arm. That's Chloe. And what I like is that her mom in the picture on the left here, that's Rolin. And she used to come when she was a little girl. And now she's bringing her daughter to hear about Jesus as well. Another way that we help is through back to school. We bless the families with backpacks, which have basic things like pencils, erasers, and, you know, they sound so simple, but for families that are living day to day, you know, often they get paid sometimes per day, or they buy their food meal by meal. You know, they go to the market every day to buy their food for the next meal. And so when they're living in such a day-to-day way, things like having to buy school shoes or school backpacks, it can be a real burden for them. And so it's one way that we can just bless the families and let them know that God loves them and we love them as well. Mark's going to come and share about bayanihan, which is a Filipino word.
It's a Filipino word, which means shouldering the burden together. And it's such a beautiful image because when somebody in the provincial area outside of the city needs to move, all the men gather around and they pick up the house on their shoulders and they help their neighbor move. And when you move in the Philippines, you're not moving like to the yard across the street. You're moving maybe a couple miles down the road to the next barangay, the next village. And so, but shouldering the burden together, it's a beautiful picture of what we are doing today and what we do globally. Because as a church and as missionaries, like, we don't go to the Philippines by ourselves. We're not lone rangers ponying it up, you know. We go with the church behind us. We're shouldering the burden of missions together, where we're going, but we have you guys as a church supporting us, but also praying for us, maybe even sending a team to come over and help us with a VBS, or maybe at Christmas to give out presents, or, you know, but we're going together. We're shouldering the burden of missions together. And so we want to say thank you as a church, as missionaries, to you, the church, for partnering with us as missionaries and the missionaries that you partner with globally, for helping us carry the gospel to people around the world. So we say thank you so much. One of the ways that we've shouldering the burden together, I guess, in Sayre, helping missionaries is through BGMC. And so, for instance, like the speaker that you see here, it's very important for us to have a good sound system for the gospel to go out and be clearly heard. And then come on over. Our invitation would be to you guys, come over to the Philippines. Join us. Not right now, but, you know, maybe in a year and in time. In time. Pray about it. Save your money. Now's a good time. Save your money. And, you know, but come over and join us. Sit with the kids. Love on the kids. And let them know, you know, just continue to remind them there's a God who loves you. Pray for them. And so it's very important. We've had people come. The oldest we had was 88, an 88 and 84-year-old come during a typhoon disaster to help give out food to thousands of victims in the basketball court because their homes get washed out. And we had another lady who was 80 that came, an 80-year-old came and did a 3-month internship and stayed at our office where we have a guest room. And so, you know, I would say whether you're young or old, you know, the call and plan of God is always yes. And so you're welcome to come and partner with us in missions. There's also a thing we have called Box of Blessing. And Box of Blessing is kind of like Operation Christmas Child. And you fill a big box with presents, or you could do shoe boxes if you want, but and then send the presents over. But these kids, they get shipped out of Sacramento. It's just so happy. Just a simple $4.95 gift from Walmart. You know, but for them, it's such the joy because they don't get this kind of gift at Christmas to let someone know, hey, there's people around the world thinking about you, wanting you to know, like, there is that God. Listen to what they have to say. There's that message that they're sharing with you that's important. And so we would just again say thank you to you guys as a church. As Pastor Scott mentioned earlier, you guys had just started supporting us recently. And we're so grateful that we've been at the tail end. We've been here 1 year. And we've been at the tail end of raising our support, and your church has helped close that gap. And so we're essentially just waiting for restrictions to lift. They're not letting, we have visas, resident visas. They're not allowing our specific visa in yet, but it's like one tier above it. So it's very close. But we want to say thank you as a church for being part of our Bayanihan, shouldering the burden together for the gospel to carry the message. So thank you so much. All right, so I have a little bit of a message for us today. If you have your Bibles, all right, if you have your phones, pads, or your if you got your sea goods, maybe some of you have your sea goods. You know what sea goods are? I left my sea goods over there. Yeah, your glasses, they help me see good. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to go Deuteronomy chapter 1. Rising up in faith. We're going to look at the promise of God and what it means for us today. What it meant for us yesterday. What it means for us tomorrow. And so we're going to look at the people of Israel because God had just led them out of Egypt. I shouldn't say just. They had taken their big journey. They had taken their journey through the wilderness, and it's like, you know, if you were coming from Turlock, and you're making your way up through the Central Valley, and you're going to come up here, and you're at the foothills of Sacramento, and you're looking up, and God says, I have given you Cameron Park and Shingle Springs. And all of God's people are in the Sacramento foothills looking up at the hills up there and like, really? You giving us that? Are you sure? And so this is a quick summary of it. But at this place in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy is kind of like Moses' recount it's kind of his summary of what happened for the people of Israel. And then at the end of Deuteronomy, it's when he passes away. And then we have the book of Joshua. And what happens in Joshua? The very first thing that God reminds Joshua. He says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And then he says, you know, do not be afraid. And this is God's message. Do not be afraid. That you and I should rise up to the promises that he has had in store for us. And so this is where we are. This is Moses. You can read the detailed account of this in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. It's pretty interesting after you read into this one, the details of it. But we're going to walk through this passage a little bit and look at three things about this today. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. Let's start there, and I'm going to follow on this. This is a new one for me. Here we go. So, here's Moses speaking. We departed from Horeb and went through all the great and terrible wilderness. I don't know about you, the great and terrible? You know? I don't know, that's oxymoron there. Great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites. You know what's great and terrible? You're driving to Texas, but my wife and I have drove across the U.S., and it's great and terrible. Anybody ever drove that? That's a great and terrible. I mean, it's beautiful because you get to see the Rockies, and you go through Utah, and if you can go down and you see the Arch Rock if you want to go off on it. It's great and terrible, right? And so anyway, all that we went through, the great and terrible, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then, when we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. And verse 21 is our key verse for him. Look, I said, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. Wow. Number one, we say God has given you a promise. Let me see how these roll. Here we go. The promises. God has given promises for those who believe. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, I like what God says here. He says to the Israelites, he says, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance. Amen. Have any of you felt like in your life you've reached that plateau or that place where you felt like, I've just been in this situation too long? Yeah. And it just seems like God's promise is right over there. You're so close. Well, God is saying, break camp. It's time to get up and break camp and advance. And here in verse 21, it says, verse 21, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord your God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. You know, God has made a promise to his people. He made a promise that he would bring them to a land that was rich and bountiful, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And a little bit of cinnamon. Anybody had that? Milk, honey, and cinnamon. He said, I'm going to bring you to a land that's flowing. It was going to be a land of prosperity. God has given us promises in our lives. And simple message from Moses to the people, they were saying, go up and possess it. Everybody say, possess it. Possess. You know, it doesn't take too much work to possess a gift when somebody's giving you. Especially if it's like an Apple Watch or, you know, right? It's not too hard. God's people had been brought to the mountain. He says, I'm going to give you this land. Here it is. You've been there too long in this camp, and now it's time to rise up and possess it. Wow. It's maybe easier said than done. Easier said than done. Have you ever been driving up the mountain here to Cameron Park, and you realize, man, I should have got gas? I should have got gas back down in, what's the next one? Folsom. I should have got gas at the Shell gas station in Folsom. Have you done that? And you're like, Lord, and there's no gas station. You're like, come on, Lord, please help. You know, God is challenging his people. Take that step of faith riding up that mountain. All right. But the promises of God that he has given us, and there's a general call and general promise that God has given everyone. And we would say the general promise that God has given is number one, salvation. God has promised that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's his promise. If you're here today or you're watching online, God's promise to you is that if you call on him, you'll be saved. You'll have eternity in heaven. Jesus says that wherever I am, there you may be also. His promises are for us. His promise of forgiveness. His other promises, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise we can count on. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, another wonderful promise. Whoever comes to me will never thirst again, and whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. And he that is in me, or in you, is greater than he that is in the world. Friends, whatever it is you're facing, the problems, the mountains, the obstacles, greater is he that is in you, because the promises of God are yes and amen for those who believe. So we would say, rise up and possess the promises that God has before you today. The second thing we must look at is number two, the promises. Number one, number two, rise up against the pressures the enemy throws your way. Yeah. You know, rise up against them. Here we are. Number two. Are we there? There we go. Ascent, Lord your God, possess it. Lord, number two. Here we go. Verse 22. And every one of you came near to me and said, this is Moses again, remember, speaking to the Israelites. Every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us, and let's let them search out the land for us and bring back word of the way by which we should go and of the cities in which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe. I just want to pause here. You remember the story of Adam and Eve? And Eve took the apple, and then Adam ate, oh, I shouldn't say apple, the fruit, forbidden fruit. And then Adam ate the forbidden fruit. And what did Adam say to the Lord? Lord, this woman you put here with me, yeah, she convinced me to get, yeah, right? This kind of sounds like the tone. You hear the tone? He says here, the plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, so he's dividing up the blame. And they also took some of the fruit from the land in their hands, and they brought it down to us. And they brought it back with word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Now, if you read back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, only two of the 12 spies said it was good land. The other 10 said, oh no. And they spread fear. They spread fear amongst the Israelites, God's people. Verse 26, nevertheless, even though they said that, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites. I'm imagining that's probably how they said it, right? Amorites. Oh, where am I? To destroy us, verse 28, where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. Now, this is the New King James. The NIV says, our brothers have melted our hearts. Yeah, has your heart ever been melted in discouragement? Yeah? Well, that's what the enemy wants, our hearts to be melted in discouragement. The Bible says the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if it's the promises and call of God, that's what the enemy wants to attack. He wants to attack those things, and he did it in the hearts of the Israelites here. The people are greater and taller than we are. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Now, who are the Anakim? The Anakim are the giants. So can you imagine? They sent the spies came back, and the spies are telling the people, you've got two spies. Oh yeah, it's great. The Lord's gonna give it to us. He promised to us, let's go. And you've got all the other 10 who are like, whoa, 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 whoa. We've got these fortified cities. They're on these hills. They're on these mountains. And not only that, are they fortified, they're well protected. They're guarded by these giants. I'm probably not even as tall as one of the giants now. And you want us to go attack them? They were discouraged. They were discouraged. The pressures of the enemy, we must rise up against them in our lives. See, immediately, the unbelief had already crept in for the Israelites. They had already crept in. Because we know that the Lord, does he go behind us or before us? It's a trick question. He goes before us and behind us. Yeah, but he goes before us, and he went ahead, and he knew where the promised land was. He knows where the promised land and the promises, where they are for you in your life. He's not surprised by the giants. He's not surprised by the fortified cities. He knows very well that they are there, and he knows very well that he has the ability to conquer them and see the victory. But the people, they had doubt. I've had doubt in my life. I'm sure you've had doubt. And they came up to Moses, and it says, it's interesting, the passage, it says, every one of you came near to me. Now, what does that mean? Like, they're at the little coffee table, and you see, you know, Mo over there. Hey, Mo, need some sugar? I heard this isn't really a great idea. We better go, what's the Lord thinking? We better send some of our guys out there to check it out, just to be sure we really heard the voice of the Lord. And what does Moses say? He said, let me stand before you, Kim. Search out a land and bring back word. The plan pleased me well. He went along with it. Moses, even in his heart, was also somewhat questioning what was happening. But then this uncertainty and this unbelief crept in their lives. The people wanted their own search party. You know, I don't know what happened here, but maybe if there's a pastoral search committee, and then the board finds a pastor, and maybe some other people in the church are like, well, did they really hear about that from the Lord, that this is the guy? You know, we better set our, I don't know. But they set out their own search party for this. And so God had already gone before, but they had not yet sent their own party to verify it. So the people wanted to see for themselves. How many of you want to see for yourself before you're willing to take that step of faith out of the boat like Peter? God, is this really going to hold me? Or am I just going to step out and slip if I'm going to slip? My eyes are on you. For those of you that have kids, you know, not anybody's kids in particular, but have you ever had like maybe 3 cupcakes, and you pull out your cupcakes and you're like, hey kids, we got cupcakes. And all the kids, except for one, comes running. So two of the 3 kids come running to get the cupcake. And then your first 2 kids eat their cupcakes. And then the third kid, maybe it was the older kid because they were being responsible, putting the toys away. And they come and they're like, that cupcake? No, I want the cupcake that has sprinkles. Where's the sprinkles? And you're like, I don't, what are you talking about? There's no sprinkles. We all had a chocolate cupcake. No, I saw a sprinkle. Where is that sprinkles? Have you ever had that? The kids, they just like, you've got this great little treat for them, and it's like, not enough. Yes? Can I see your hands? Yes, okay. That's like the Israelites. God brought them to this mountain, and it's like, it wasn't enough. They're like, we've got to go out. We've got to find, there's got to be something. There's got to be something to this. Well, against their unbelief, we've got to stand and rise up against the pressures that the enemy throws our way. Against our unbelief, against our fear, against our discouragement. Maybe in our life we felt like we've lost it all. Maybe you've come to a place where you felt like your dreams have just died. Or maybe in your life just so many things of disappointments. People have disappointed you. Schedules have disappointed you. Family members, jobs, whatever it is in those things. have risen up, and the enemy has thrown those things to us, and it's time for us as believers to rise up against these pressures that have come our way. We see from verse 26 that they were unwilling to go. They complained in their tents, or they grumbled in their hearts what was happening. And they said, the brothers made our hearts melt in fear and discouragement. Their dreams were dead. Those 12 spies, 10 of them came back and ruined the dreams of God's people. Don't let the dream killers creep into your life. Rise up. Even if they start to come in, there's something that God promised you and you've been discouraged, rise up and hold on to the promises that God has given you. They didn't believe and they didn't trust the Lord. They were worried about their circumstances. My mom used to work for a lady, Nazarene lady, and she had this sign on her wall, and she had given us the sign, but it said, when you are worrying, you are not trusting. And when you are trusting, you're not worrying. Where are you today? Are you trusting and not worrying? Are you worrying and not trusting? So how can I be like Peter? How can I be like the Israelites or Caleb? How can I be like Caleb, who was one of the two positive Joshua and Caleb? How can I be like one of the positive 12 two spies? How can I be like that? How can I be like Peter? I don't see it, Lord. I don't see it, but I believe it. How can I step out of the boat? How can I do it? Well, the first thing we can do is we can declare it. Declare God's promises. Pray God's promises. Believe it. Proclaim it. Let someone. You might be saying this, but I'm going to believe that God has a plan that's going to prosper us, whether it's a family member that needs the Lord, whether it's a job I need in my family, whether somebody in my family is sick and needs to be healed. God has promised me, and I'm going to hold on to God's promises because they are yes and amen. There was a father in the book of Mark, chapter 9. The father had a child who foamed at the mouth and was sick. Mark, chapter 9, verse 20 to 24. The man had a child who foamed at the mouth. He came to Jesus, brought his child to Jesus. Verse 20. They brought him to him, brought the child to Jesus. And when Jesus, he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. It's not typical sight. Verse 21, so he asked his father, Jesus asked the child's father, how long has this been happening to him? Now, do you think Jesus didn't know? Jesus knew. Jesus was making a point. Sometimes we face problems. Sometimes we face challenges from the enemy for a long time. But there's a day and there's a promise that God has for you that's coming. How long has this been happening? And the father said, from childhood. Verse 22, and often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, I have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out to him and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You see, in Christianity, there's no sideline Christians. God's not going to bring us up to the valley of the mountain of promise and just expect us to sit there. Remember, he said in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, it's time to get up and break camp. It's time to advance and possess. God is looking for Christians who are going to get involved and get an action, live an action, active faith. As we say in football, get some skin in the game. Yeah. He's wanting people who are going to get in, willing to like put their foot forward in faith and say, I'm going to hold on to this promise for the promises that God has given me and my family. And just like God gave the promises to the Israelites, just like Jesus gave the promise to this man, God has promises for you that are still yes and amen. If we must rise up against the pressures of the enemy. So what are these promises that God has given you we need to declare? God, I have a broken marriage. I'm going to declare restoration, healing, a spouse, a child to come to the Lord, a job, finances, healing in your body. Today, if we pray and we say, God, I declare, help me to rise up against this in my faith and believe that your word stands true today as much as it did for the Israelites, that you are carrying them to the promised land, and you're going to carry me to the promises that you have for me and my family. Number three, we must allow God to fight and carry us to victory. Let me write it back here. Then I said to you, do not be afraid, do not be terrified or afraid of them. Now, who is he speaking of? Do you guys remember? All the Amalekites, but especially the Anakim, the giants. Don't be afraid of these guys or terrified. For the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out the place for you and to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and the cloud by day. You see, the Lord goes before us. Before we can imagine it, God already knows. He knows how to overcome. He is the answer. He knows the answer. He wants you and I to take that step of faith in him. God has brought you this far. Wherever you are in this place in your life, God has brought you this far. For what? To break camp and to advance and to possess the promises he has for you and your family. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 21, it talks about Abraham. And it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all faithlessness, he rose up in his faith to become the father of many nations. Just as it had been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. I don't know about you. I don't know the challenges you're facing, but maybe in your heart you feel, I'm as good as dead. I don't know what to do next week. I don't know what to do tomorrow. And God is calling you to break camp and rise up in faith in him, because he has gone before you. He is going to bring you through the victory that you've been waiting for. And he says down in verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Church, it's time for us to rise up. Just like before the service, I carried my son on my shoulders. The verse says that the Lord, your God, carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went. Now, I didn't carry him like this. I carried him up here so he could see. He could see what was ahead. He could feel that assurance. If there was something coming up, I could knock it out of the way. God is carrying you. He has a promise for you. And the victory is in him. If you and I will rise up in our unbelief and have faith that through him all things are possible, be persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised in your life. Let's stand together today. Just as I carried my son, God wants to carry you. He wants to fight for you, and he wants to carry you to victory for the promises he has in store. Will we let him today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for the promises that you've given us. Father, that all things in our life, God, the goodness of God is insurmountable. Father, thank you for carrying us through the challenging times. Thank you, God, for fighting for us. God, thank you for having the victory in store for us. God, today I pray for the person here or the person watching online that is struggling. They're struggling in faith. They're struggling in finances, Father, in their doubt and in their unbelief. God, that you will help their faith to rise up and be persuaded that nothing is impossible with you, Father. We look to you today as we go out from here, that we walk in victory, riding on your shoulders as you carry us to fulfill your promise in our life. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory for everything you've done and you're doing for each of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.